So I want to get to the Tim Kurchin thing, but we've had this as like a side topic for a minute, and it was something that I think is absolutely fair. And it's is this your least favorite Guardian season? Because I think it's a fair question. Before I answer, I wanted to kind of get your take on it.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, it's my least favorite Guardian season. Now, I don't go as far as you do, obviously. I'm playing within a 10-year stretch that's been pretty favorable to the Guardians. But I can't come up with anything worse. Now, there's been moments I've left more disappointed. You know, 2017, they go, and that was one of those years where I gave them a lot of credit for making a lot of big-time decisions, and you win 102 games and they get knocked out in the first round of the postseason against the Yankees. That was about as disappointing as it gets. But this is, from an all-encompassing standpoint, about as frustrating as it gets. And at least a couple years ago, you were left for dead and it was what it was. This season wasn't that.
So the two seasons I think it compares to are 2012, where they were staring. I mean, they were relatively competitive midseason, and then they collapsed. And it was a catch-22 of, I didn't think Manny Acta was a good manager. I just didn't. I don't think anybody does anymore. But I didn't think he was a good manager. And so the collapse did necessitate, or did facilitate, firing him and then hiring Tito.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a season where you had a lot of young players come up, and there were a lot of things to be excited about. And then 2015, which was Tito's third season, where they were a 500 team, where they had gone from playoffs to 85-win team. You thought they'd bounce back, and it was right before 2016 as well, and nothing went right.
Well, and so 2016 had a chance to go down as one of the least favorite seasons. I mean, remember Hoynsey had the whole bet with him jumping into the lake because it was all around the starting pitching.
Yeah.
He didn't think at the time they had enough starting pitching to make it all work, and he had a lot of injuries down the stretch, and it just kind of felt like a wasted season, and then obviously things went right. And that's sometimes what you need is the breaks. The 2017 was an awesome season in many, many ways. It just ended horribly, and then you fast forward, and it's just, we've had hope in every single season, and usually at this time of the year, even in bad years, we've had hope. And for this season right now, July 8th, there's just not much existing right now.
So one of the reasons why I'll pause and saying, as of right now today, it's my least favorite season. The reason why I'll pause is, I know we won last night, but I mean, it's a 10-game losing streak. There's nothing more demoralizing. I still think they've still got time to get back into this. Depending on what you do built around the deadline and what you do with DeLauder and Kafis, and if those guys can come up and perform, and if you can get anything close to what you got out of a couple guys in the lineup last night. Like, it's I do think it's like the worst point to assess this season as least favorite or not. So I maybe it's that I haven't written them completely off yet, even though I don't think they're going to do much even if they get back in the wild card thing. But I will say, where I find it really, really hard to deal with is just what a great opportunity the Guardians in general have wasted. I'm not talking about the players now. You were in the ALCS last year. Attendance is all the way through the roof. Interest in baseball in Cleveland, because of the rule changes and the pace changes,
or just nationally, look around,
has grown. And the ballpark, they have nailed the reno on the ballpark.
The reno?
The renovation.
No, I got
one. I watch
a lot
of HGTV.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah. That's what if you're on the HGTV hive.
I'm not. I'm in the Food Network hive. I'm on if you're doing something outside of sports, I go Food Network, you go HGTV.
There's something wrong that the fat man on the show is not the Food Network guy. Although we do like a little Guy Fieri. I've come around on him. The hair, he's just wacky. However,
like the reno.
They've nailed so many things here. And it's just like every time this organization, I shouldn't say every time, because 94 through 2001 was such a mystical and magical time. But since then, every time they're just on the precipice, every time that there's momentum for them and where they get the credit that they deserve for the success that they have had, even though there's been some failure, it just feels like a Plaxico Burress shoots himself in the foot situation.
Yeah, I mean, this season, though, it feels like, because there was a lot of momentum built off of what happened last year, and it just kind of felt like they were bulletproof to having this type of season. Yeah. And I think that's the part where, and maybe even I got caught up with it even, let's say, a month, month and a half ago, where you're trying to figure out this offense, and you know on paper it's not the greatest thing you've ever seen. It just, historically, they're able to figure these things out. And to watch them not be able to push the buttons at the right time when they desperately need to is not something that we typically see from this team. And I think that's demoralizing in many ways.
I also think it's, you know, that there's other things here. Like that rotation, guys, I mean, Bibee went from flawless to, oh my God, he's got to get out of the game last night. Mm-hmm. But Bibee, Williams, Ortiz before the suspension, Ciccone, they've got some young arms here that absolutely could be the backbone of a great run. Yeah, the bullpen's not elite. The bullpen's still, what, top 10 in baseball? It's still a very, as long as you stop pitching Matt Festa in high leverage situations, just pray to God, please stop.
Did again last night.
But like, it really is just, the fatal flaw that everyone saw coming was the offense isn't going to be good enough, and it's had, it hasn't even just had a regression. It has had a regression to a level where it looks like, it actually looks like a bunch of actually talented guys who've completely lost the ability to, and faith in their own abilities.
They're just not fun.
Yeah.
I watch these games game night in, night out, and I like to make it the highlight of my evening, and they're just not fun. And the sad part about it right now is they're not very rootable either. Like, I'm not having an easy time being like, hey, Stephen Vogt, I know you got the right strings to pull here, and I know you're going to get them out of this. Or even like some of these other guys, like Rocchio had a couple, he had that big hit last night after the couple sack bunts that he had, but he had the big hit last night to break through. And instead of thinking about like playoff Rocchio and then like Rocchio, hey, maybe something's there. I know who Rocchio is. I know he's dead in the water. And so it just, a lot of that is so dispiriting at times.
Can I tell you what, okay, as somebody who like obsessively, like I really like some of these dudes who are just not hitting on this roster. Like I still believe in Manzardo. He doesn't get a chance. I still believe in Martinez. Like they're, I like
Manzardo. I think we differ on the idea. I'm over Jonathan Rodriguez. I'm over Martinez.
Oh, can
I'm
I get? Over, I'll give you Jonathan Rodriguez and Will Wilson too. Like that to me.
I mean, there's enough of guys, yes, like that for me.
But like the other thing that I find demoralizing is, I don't think Tyler Freeman or Will Benson or Nolan Jones, the first go-around in Colorado, I don't think these are the last guys to go elsewhere and have success elsewhere, and that's what kills me.
Ernie Clement?
Yeah, like...
tearing it up right now?
Like, I do think that this is... I think what frustrates me is I think some of these guys are going to go elsewhere in a less pressurized environment and do something. Like, guys, we got probably 6 months, maybe, of John Kensie Noel being on the 40-man roster. That I've never seen a guy more typical of just go play in with the White Sox for a year and have no pressure on you and watch that guy figure out. Like, mm-hmm, Gio Urshela before him, like Jesus Aguilar before him. And I feel like there's like four guys on the roster now that I know, even if they're just good, like great bench pieces, I know they're going to do it.
Well, that started to become the trend.
I just don't think they're going
to
do it.
It started to become the trend. We've started, and that's why we talk about this as a failure from the organization top to bottom. Why is it they go somewhere else and they're able to find success?
Yeah. And I think, which brings us to Tim Kirchen. And you know me, I like to say a lot. If I really like somebody, I really like to front load a lot of nice things.
Yeah.
Tim is an honest to goodness fan of the sport of baseball. I don't think we have enough of those in baseball media. Baseball media, and they're guys that I guarantee you walking around, they're guys that you can think of who are incredibly talented, but who do not like the sport of baseball. And I hate when those guys cover baseball because it's one of those sports. It's like working in sports talk radio. Guys, we don't do it for the fringe benefits. We do it because we love the format, and we love this town, and we love Cleveland sports, right? If it was just about, hey, man, all those things you get to go with this. Now, we wouldn't. I'd go into banking, all right, if I was just motivated by other things. So I think when I see somebody who loves the game of baseball, I love to hear it. And you can hear it. But he was on the Morning Boys today, and he said something about the Guardians front office and ownership and credit that I think this is part of the problems perpetuating itself in baseball.
It's easy to say we need to spend a lot more money in order to improve the team. But the Guardians don't have a lot of money. The reason they've been so good over the years is they've drafted and developed players pretty darn well. And Chris Antonetti and his group deserve a lot of credit for the job that they have done with the Guardians. Now, ownership is going to have to get more involved here and try whatever it takes to improve this team. But you're right, they've been pretty darn good. And I'm just not sure that it's really fair to blast ownership and blast the front office for not improving this team when they've done an awful lot of good things the last few years.
I have not blasted. I feel like I've been the measured one of, hey, you haven't gotten the job done yet, but I don't want everyone fired. I when I heard him say it's not fair to blast ownership or front office, to me, this is part and parcel with Paul Dolan saying, enjoy Francisco Lindor.
Mm.
It's like, don't, like, because there's an element of it that feels like you're telling me, hey, don't be upset by any of this. You should just be happy to have a team. And that, I think, it's wildly, wildly disrespectful to a lot of people who do put their hard-earned money into going into the stadium and who just want a team that matches their passion and matches what they did last year.
And listen, Tim obviously pays attention deeply to baseball. He does. But like the idea that he would just say the front office is getting a pass here and the ownership is getting a pass is just ignoring a lot of the problems that we've seen over the past couple years with this team, and in particular what's been highlighted this year. Like, that part of the problem I have within these discussions, way too many people want to talk about this front office and this ownership like it's 2017. It's not. I remember talking even to Zach last year. He came on the station and we were referencing something about like big trade additions at the deadline. And he went to like 2017 and brought up Edwin Encarnacion, and I had to stop him at the moment. And I was like, that was 8 years ago. Like we're giving him credit for something that happened 8 years ago. Like we continue to do this with these two groups. And I don't understand why. And in Kirchen's aspect, like, you just got to update your responses to the Guardians at some point.
And listen, I do think baseball economics are tragic, and I think it screws over Guardians fans. I think it screws over Brewers fans. It screws over Pirates fans. MLB does have a massive ownership issue because there are half the league of ownership groups that are not doing everything they can to win.
Well, and the problem,
and the Dolans and are part of that.
That goes back many years ago when Bud Selig, the only people that he would let into the club were people that were basically beholden to everything baseball could do, and the way they generated money was only owning that team. They brought way too many ownership groups that were in that weren't like Mark Cuban, the guy that I've advocated for a while, those type of guys that have $10 billion, $15, $20 billion and can lose money in a year if they need to because they know in the valuation at the end they'll make it all up. And the velvet rope was only being lifted for these owners that were worth $1.2 billion, $1.3 billion, and they were beholden to playing by baseball's rules.
So I think you can say, like, yep, economics messed up. And we're in a different era of thriftiness from the Guardians and the Dolans. And you can, by the way, one of the reasons why I wouldn't fire Chernetti, beyond just the fact I actually think they are a competent baseball guy who happened to be in a really rough stretch for one element of this, is because I'm not willing to trade off the pitching factory just to figure out hitting, when I think, honestly, hitting is the cheapest and easiest thing you can find in baseball. They've got the right they've got the right problem. You got to go find bats, right? That's a better problem to have than I got to go find arms and I got to go build a bullpen. At the same point, you can't just be like, well, the fact that they've got pitching obfuscates the fact or completely erases the fact that they have failed on a 15-year level to consistently develop meaningful bats.
Just think it's very new for a lot of people, the blowback that not just the ownership, that's been for a while, but the front office, the blowback that they're getting. And I think for the national guys, sometimes it takes a little bit longer. And I think that's what happened here with Kirchen.
216-474-0092. Are you in the camp with Tim Kirchen who says it's unfair to blast the front office or ownership? In his case, he said both. But I think at some point it's not unfair. Like, it's been a failure. You can say it's a failure without saying burn the whole thing down, and that this might not be what you wanted to hear about Darius Garland. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.